It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. Cougar fans, are you loving life right now? The Cougars get it done. BYU takes down number 24 ranked USC 30-27 at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. For once, the Cougars get it done at home. It feels like it's been a long time since BYU had a big win at home, and that was just that on Saturday. BYU gets a huge win over the USC Trojans to move to 2-1 now on the young season in 2019. USC now drops to 2-1 on the season. We're going to unpack everything from the game tonight here on the podcast. It was a huge win for the Cougars. I'm going to share your takeaways that you had from the game and a whole lot more, and share my thoughts as, again, BYU moves to 2-1 on the season with a 30-27 overtime win over the USC Trojans. And for those of you that somehow missed it, this is how the final play sounded.
To the wide right for Slovis in the gun. He claps the hands, takes a chest-high snap. He will throw quickly, batted up, and intercepted! Did they get it? If they got it, it's over! It's over! The Cougars picked it off! And in overtime, they won it! The BYU players are ready to party with their fans. The headset's off. Here's the call.
After review, the ruling on the field stands. Interception.
It's over!
Baby.
Yes. Riley Nelson. Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, give it to me. Inject that into my veins, Riley.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's going to be the new drop on the podcast. Here on Cougar Tracks, shout out to Riley Nelson for now giving my favorite drop on the show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And that's how all Cougar fans feel right now. 30-27, they take down the Trojans. Here was the stat line from the Cougars' victory. First downs, pretty much even. USC 22, BYU 21. Rushing yards, USC with 171, BYU with 131. Passing yards, who would have thought this going into the game? BYU throws for more passing yards than the Trojans, 299-281. Total yards, 452 USC, 430 BYU. One of the big stats from this game in BYU's victory, turnovers. Three interceptions, BYU forced on true freshman quarterback Keaton Slovis. BYU had zero turnovers. For the second week in a row, BYU did not cough up the football. Let's face it, folks, when the Cougars don't cough it up, they're going to win a lot of ballgames. 9-1 now in the Kalani Sitake era, where BYU, when they don't cough up the football, they have a 90% winning percentage when they don't cough it up. It's high probability, and that just shows you can beat some really good teams. And I'm not going to say USC's this world beater by any stretch, but the thing is that in this moment, once again, with USC nationally ranked, feeling like they're back and everything, it's a big win for BYU. Some notables here in the stat on the box score for BYU. Zach Wilson, 20 of 33, 280 yards, one touchdown. He did get sacked three times. He did have a rushing TD, though. He only ended up with 10 yards because of some of the sacks. Here was the rushing TD in the fourth quarter from Zach Wilson.
Empty quarterback draw. Wilson 15, 10. Wilson on his feet, 5. On his
Zach was gritty. He was getting comparisons after that run to Johnny Manziel. All of Twitter was saying Mormon Manziel. I loved it. I mean, as I put it out on my Twitter account, at @Mitch_Harper, inject that into every Cougar fan's veins, the Johnny Manziel comparisons. He does have a little bit of Johnny Manziel. I remember back in his first spring game back in 2018, I remember saying, man, he reminds me a little bit of Baker Mayfield. And I remember getting raked over the coals by Ute fans for that comparisons. But the guy's a dual threat in every sense of the word. And, you know, started out a little bit slow, but man, did he finish hot. I think it was like 11 to 13 in his last 13 attempts. Wilson was clutch down the stretch. Whenever that guy touches the ball, you feel like a big play could happen. And he's got the ball security, too. He's not coughing up the football. 280 yards and a touchdown. You'll take that every single day of the week. My guy, Tyson Williams, 19 carries for 99 yards. He ended up 1 yard short of my bold prediction of getting 100 yards, but he was a feature back, 5.2 yards per carry. Once again, when you think that BYU has nothing at the line of scrimmage, somehow Tyson gets 3 or 4 or 5 yards. The guy just finds a way to keep moving his feet and gets production. Where would this BYU team be with Tyson Williams? It's a scary thought, but man, it's a good one that they don't have to deal with because he is critical to the success of this BYU team. And defensively, Kavika Fanua, 13 tackles on the day for BYU. BYU's defense, their depth was tested. It was tested quite a bit. Zane Anderson, he only played sparingly. I think he only got like 2 or 3 snaps in the game, and I think one of them was in special teams. Sawyer Powell, he was out. Keenan Peely, he got injured. BYU's depth was tested. Chaz Ayu late in the game, he looked like he popped his shoulder. BYU was banged up, but they were resilient. And I've said all along, back in the summertime, this is the deepest team in the Kalani Sitake era and the independence era for BYU. And it showed itself once again. This is a resilient group. And I think Cougar fans, that's why you should be pretty excited about this win, that BYU faced adversity and they responded. A couple weeks ago, you know, 14, 16 days ago, BYU lost to Utah 9th in a row in the rivalry game. You could have said that defines the season and BYU's just going to have a mediocre year at best. They didn't let that Utah loss define the season. Now through 3 weeks of this murderer's row gauntlet, one of a kind in college football where no one else in the country is playing 4 Power 5s out of the gates, BYU's 2-1. They got an opportunity to win 75% of these 4 games to open up the season. How crazy is that? Who would have thought that coming into this year? No one, that's for sure. I didn't think it. I thought maybe 2-2 at best. I felt pretty good that they could get 2 wins. They already got it with a game to spare. BYU's in a good spot right now. And this is a football team that's starting to develop an identity. And that's one of the things that's got to be exciting for BYU. And I asked Kalani Sitake in the post game because Kalani's talked a lot about he wants his guys to play BYU football. And I asked him, in your terms, Kalani, was what you saw on Saturday afternoon, was that BYU football?
I thought so. I thought offensively we were able to use all our weapons. You know, you saw a lot of guys make plays, and defensively we were able to rely on our depth. We have some guys, I mean, we were fortunate in the first 2 weeks to have not have so many injuries, and this one we got kind of banged up in games. I don't know how severe some of the injuries that we had, but we were able to go back to our depth that we were trying to really rely on, and those guys stepped up. So proud of those guys, you know, and the things that they've done in the offseason just made me so proud of how they performed today.
You can tell Kalani Sitake is really proud of his team. And Kalani Sitake, BYU fans should be proud of him. You know, going into this year, no contract extension in hand. I'll be honest, I think that should change immediately. Kalani Sitake deserves a contract extension, folks. You even see prominent boosters like Josh James from Domo going out and saying contract. Kalani Sitake deserves it. There's not a better man for the job than Kalani Sitake. I've said that all along here on the podcast since I rebooted this thing. Kalani Sitake is the perfect man for the job. And the leadership that he's displayed, the commitment, the buy-in from his players, it's real. It's tangible. And BYU is a group that's a cardiac Cougs, whatever you want to call them. They're willing to face adversity and bounce back. And there's no one in college football or NFL or wherever it may be that's got institutional knowledge of BYU, that's got the coaching resume of Kalani Sitake, and, by the way, is a Temple Recommend active member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. There's no better man for this head coaching position than Kalani Sitake. So if you're Tom Homo, you're the BYU administration athletic department, you extend Kalani Sitake and you do it now. And the reason why you do it now is because, one, you're only 3 months out till signing day. National Letter of Intent Day is quickly approaching. Get that taken care of so where you can say to recruits, hey, I'm going to be here for the long haul. I'm the man for the program going forward. I want to be here. I want to be the Polynesian Lavelle Edwards, as he once said. You had recruits like Kobe Bryant-Strother, Elijah Bryant's younger bro, who's got offers from a bunch of SEC, ACC programs. He was on an official visit for this USC game. You can tell guys like him, hey, I'm going to be here for the long haul because, you know, Kalani's got strong relationships with these recruits, and he can be that closer and seal the deal. That's when he thrives as a recruiter. So I think BYU should definitely extend Kalani Sitake, and that was him in the post game after BYU took down the USC Trojans in a game that was really big for this BYU football team.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I'm going to keep playing that, folks. I'm telling you. Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And that was one of the reactions I had, I think a lot of Cougar fans had, when Jake the Make, once again, it was kind of in the moment, I think BYU fans were like, ugh, want a touchdown. I don't want to settle for a field goal. But now in retrospect, Jake the Make comes through once again and puts BYU on top for good in the overtime.
Low snap, kick on its way. And through for three for Jake Oldroyd. Career long of 43. He's 3 for 4 today, and BYU takes a 30-27 lead.
He did miss one in the game against the Trojans, but still 3 of 4, and that was a career long 43-yard field goal for Jake the Make Oldroyd. So BYU once again has a solid kicker to turn to, a clutch kicker that in the big moments he can come up big, and he was also good in punting too. Four punts for 193 yards, a 48.2 average. His long was 56, and he had two inside the 20, including one touchback. So, you know, Jake the Make, he was nails. Also, I would say a position group that was nails as well was the wide receivers. They came through big. Gunnar Romney made a big play late in the game. Three receptions, 54 yards. This was that catch for Gunnar Romney.
Twins right, they motion one of them Milne. They fake, fly sweep. They drop Zach. Pressure comes. He's got a boot away from it. Splits two defenders. Zach throws. Oh, he's wide open. Romney makes the catch. And the Cougars have it at the 17-yard line. What a great job from Wilson.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, baby. Gunnar Romney coming through with the big grab. That was huge. And that was kind of a busted play. And I think Zach would admit that wasn't the greatest thrown ball, because if you had thrown him in stride and over the middle, that's six. But, hey, it worked out for BYU. And the Cougars scored on that drive. Just, again, what I was talking about earlier in the week previewing this game, I felt like BYU's offense was going to have big plays. They were going to put up some points, and they did just that. I predicted the score correctly. I just had the wrong teams. I had BYU losing to USC 30-27, but hey, happy to be wrong. Happy to be wrong, folks. I mean, USC, still think that's a pretty good football team. That's better than, you know, I think that people are going to look at them and say, Clay Helton's done. He's going to be fired. But I still think that's a pretty talented group. Now, I'll be honest. I kind of wonder what's going to happen with Clay Helton. And this is what he had to say in the postgame.
I think they're tough as heck, to be honest with you, because you have two early turnovers in the red zone, and they only get 10 points out of that. We were able to create one of those stops and then get it back to a 17-17 ball game at halftime on the road. Get up in the second half, and then they make a couple plays, and we make a couple plays, and we find ourselves in overtime. And thought the defense did a really nice job on the first series in overtime, and we had the opportunity to close the door, and you know what? The ball bounced the wrong way, and that happens sometimes in football.
Helton's a really good guy, but I think he's done. I mean, I think it's pretty cut and dry now with Lynn Swann gone at USC. Clay Helton's dead man walking now. Could it be enough if they take down Utah next Friday? I don't know. I think, though, the only thing that can possibly keep Clay Helton as the head coach is if they win the Pac-12, go to the Rose Bowl, and maybe then that's still not even enough. They might have to just go to the playoff, and I think losing this game maybe rules all possibility of that happening for the USC Trojans. Keaton Slovis, though, I think he's legit. He went 24-34 for 281, two touchdowns. BYU forced the three interceptions. BYU almost got the three sacks that I predicted. They ended up with two on Slovis, but he's a good quarterback. I would say even next year when JT Daniels comes back, Slovis is still your guy, but probably going to have a different head coach as well. Here was Kalani Sitake discussing that USC offense and how BYU was able to force them to run the football more and turn to Slovis in that air raid offense.
We knew those were going to be there. We knew that we were going to have some opportunities to make some turnovers. We even dropped a few today, you know, so we feel really comfortable with our opportunity to scheme and strategize, but, you know, our guys had to really execute it. It was the players that were able to believe in the scheme and for the D linemen to understand their role. The three of those guys that just owned the front, and it took all of the positions, all 11 guys making it work. And listen, it didn't go perfectly, but I think we were able to establish that they can't do what we wanted them to do, you know, so we're able to make them be a little bit more balanced. I don't know how many times they ran, how many times they passed, but an air raid team that ran the ball more than they threw, I think mission accomplished.
That's BYU head coach Kalani Sitake in the postgame. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, I'll get to your takeaways that you shared with me on social media, and we'll continue to break down BYU's win 30-27 over the number 24 ranked USC Trojans, and we'll do that right after this.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I put out on my Twitter page, @Mitch_Harper. You can follow me there. Also, @KSL Sports, KSL Cougar Tracks on Instagram, KSL Sports on Facebook and Instagram as well. I wanted to get feedback from you guys, the listeners, on what your reaction was from and takeaways from BYU's big win over the nationally ranked USC Trojans. Diana Allen writes, I am so impressed that they never gave up. I don't think last year's team would have won this game after being down 24-17. They fought so hard. #GoCougs. You know, I'm with you there, Diana. I think this team, again, it's what I mentioned earlier. I think they are a group that can face adversity now and bounce back. BYU in what, 22 of the, Kalani Sitake is 22-20, and in 14 of those wins, the Cougars have had comeback victories. That's that courtesy of Greg Wrubell, but that just speaks again to, it's a cardiac group. They are willing to face adversity, and they can bounce back from it. So I'm with you there. MJ Mill writes, loyal listener to the program. He writes, sorry, Mitch, but I have several takeaways. Hey, that's okay, MJ Mill.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But Zach is becoming a star before our eyes. Tyson is the real deal, and we'll have monster games against G5 defenses. Kyrus made money today. Diane is a playmaker. Oh, and give Kalani that extension. I'm with you on the Kalani extension and pretty much all those points. I mean, Zach Wilson, he is a star. You know, I think that Utah game was tough because the pick sixes, and he had to shoulder a lot of that blame. But, hey, I think he's bounced back nicely. This was his best game this season to date. I think with Tyson Williams, that guy is going to consistently be near that 100-yard threshold. If you get him 25 carries, he's definitely going to get you over 100 yards. And I think Kyrus Tonga, man, haven't hit on him enough. Kyrus Tonga and Lorenzo Fawatea, Zach Daw, those guys were awesome. BYU's defense came to play against USC. And Kyrus Tonga, get that man in the one tech every single snap. Don't play him at this five tech defensive end anymore. Have him as a one tech defensive tackle. He could not be stopped. Now, USC had one of their top offensive guards out for the game, and I think that helped, you know, that matters for BYU's defensive line to get a three-man push consistently. But Kyrus Tonga, he drew double team after double team. Early in the game, he was just getting single teamed, one-on-one. And when he's in a one-on-one situation, he is going to blow up his opposition. And then it frees up guys like Lorenzo Fawatea, Bracken El Bakri, Zach Daw. BYU's defensive line came to play. And the strength and the commitment that BYU has invested in the trenches really showed itself against USC. El Chappie writes, lots of people grew up today. Wilson, Satake, coaches made great adjustments after the first USC drive. Also, I can't believe that the three-man rush worked. Yep. Three-man rush definitely was a positive. That's a good point on the first drive, too, because USC just moved down the field. Was it 74 yards or so? Touchdown, you're thinking, oh, boy, that air raid offense has come to play. Slovis is not just a one-game wonder. I don't think he is a one-game wonder. I think he's a really good quarterback, but still, BYU responded nicely. Coach Blair Redd, he tweets in, BYU has done a great job to get the best 11 on the field. Well said. Rytrus, Ryan, I believe. Ryan Rasmussen. He tweets, BYU football now believes in themselves, and the fans do too. Haven't had this since Kalani's first season, in my opinion, competing in games. We look like we belong. No flukes. I'll give you that. I mean, I think that BYU is not pulling out this trickery. I mean, they had a little bit of with Jaren Hall to Zach Wilson. They had a little bit, but they're just lining up, man. And you're seeing BYU dominate physically against Power 5 teams. And the thing is, too, is that, again, beyond just the star rankings, I know I put out a tweet that highlighted USC's 5 stars and their 4 stars compared to BYU's 5 and 4 stars. It's a huge gap. That's a real talent gap. That's a real, real talent gap. But the thing is that, you know, there's also a gap in resources. I mean, the money that gets thrown at these coaching staffs, the facilities, the resources, yet BYU still competing. Player development, the buy-in mentality to Kalani Sitake, it cannot be understated. And I think these guys have put in a ton of work. And knock on wood, for BYU, they've stayed relatively healthy, and that's got to maintain itself going forward. Mean Uncle Dave tweets, Kalani just became simply coach to a lot of people. His players were there, father, brother, teacher, coach, all wrapped into that one word. Well said. BYU Cougs VidCron 5, or 25, excuse me. Max Tooley is going to be a baller. Great on defense and special teams today. Going to be fun watching his development with more playing time. I like Max. I think BYU's linebackers are good. I think they're really good. I mean, Isaiah Kafusi, he had a few open field tackles that were missed, and that wasn't a good look for Isaiah. He did have the interception, which was great. But, man, the linebackers are really good. Chaz Ayu is phenomenal. You hope that his shoulder is going to be okay going forward. He did return to action. He was in the play on that 3rd and 6. So impressive that he was able to come back on that final play of the game for the BYU defense. But then you go, you know, Peyton Wilgar. Man, what an understated hero. He got that first interception going for BYU. The linebacker depth is quietly becoming a strength in this team, and all of them are young. Really young. Now that Zane Anderson's at safety, and hopefully he's back next week, but the linebacker unit is very young for this BYU team. Spencer Lindemann writes, 2 huge wins without even playing their best ball. Offensive play calling, defensive execution, even special teams can all still get better. Still need to see the games against UW, Boise State, and Utah State, but currently this season is projecting to be a significant improvement. I think that's a well-thought-out response. I mean, yeah, what would happen if BYU lays an absolute egg against Washington? That would be a bit of a buzzkill. I mean, it would, because I think I think BYU fans, I think everyone should expect that BYU is going to be competitive against Washington. I don't think Washington's some world beater. Yeah, they crushed Hawaii earlier today, but they lost to Cal. I mean, Cal's not some juggernaut. So, I mean, I think BYU should be able to hold their own in the trenches at a minimum. I think it should be a lot better representation from BYU against Washington than what they put out last year. Boise State, they kind of struggled at times with Portland State. I mean, that Boise State fan base on Twitter, they're ready to bench Bachmeier. Thinking, whoa, hold the phone there. They still won by, 32? But I think Boise's good, and they're going to be very tough to beat. But it's in Provo, and I think that's a good thing. Utah State, I'm still sold on BYU beating them. Lynn_NER, strength conditioning coach is getting it done, and depth is better. A lot fewer injuries than I expected at this point of the season, and depth has stepped up. Yeah, credit to Nua Tufisi, AJ Middleton, Steve McClure, all doing a nice job. At least what it seems like it's getting done, because they've been scrutinized. I mean, guys like Brady Papinga have criticized those guys quite a bit, and so far so good for BYU. Eric D. Evigny, I hope I'm saying that right. Mental toughness. They overcame adversity and pulled out the win. They look like a team that is beginning to feel like they can win no matter what. 2 OT, P5 wins. White Crisco, secondary deserves the game ball. Pass rush is still concerning. Yeah, I think the pass rush got better, at least with Kyrus. I think, but, you know, still, that can get be improved. But I think that USC, they get the ball off quick. I think if you're just basing it on sacks, then yeah, I mean, there's always room to improve there. But I thought, for the most part, I thought there was a lot of improvement from BYU's defensive line. Secondary, yeah, credit to like guys like Bo Tanner stepping in. Malik Moore had some struggles early. He got the start. Demetri Gallo, Isaiah Heron, all played pretty well. Thought BYU did a nice job in the secondary. Mike Derricotte, Tyson only needed one more yard. Yep, then he got 100 yards. Only needed one more. Then I could have been had my bold prediction proven right. So but I was close. I was in the ballpark. I wasn't just completely off. It would have been a lot worse look had I said 100 yards and he gets like 30. So, hey, it all ended up well. Thanks for all your tweets. We'll have to do this more in the future. Final thoughts, though. BYU gets a big win, and I think that BYU now should be extending Kalani Sitake. I think it should happen. Kalani's now 22-20. Still got 9-10 games this year remaining on the schedule. And you know what? Looking at the FPI win probabilities, BYU is going to be favored in a lot of games. Washington and Utah State are it, where BYU is an underdog, and the Utah State game is a down-the-middle 50.0% chance of winning. So I think that if they somehow get by Washington, hey, you can dream big, Cougar fans. Why not? That's what's exciting about this win for BYU and this fan base, is that there is a tangible evidence that this is something different than years past. It's very tangible. In years past, you've seen BYU win a great game on the road last year, last week. It happens consistently, but they don't get many great wins at home. And the thing is that this is something different than what we've seen in recent years. BYU is playing well, and they're playing well out of the gates. 2-1 is a good start. BYU, I mean, you can just count it up how many times BYU started 1-2, 1-3, over and over and over again. See, 2-1 with one of the tougher opening stretches in the history of the program? Cougar fans should feel excited. They should feel pretty good. You should be wearing that tie on Sunday to church, that BYU tie. You should be excited to go to work on Monday and celebrate with your coworkers or your friends, whatever you may do. But that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and all third-party platforms. We'll be back on Monday to discuss, recap the press conference, some more news and notes in the world of BYU football, and some additional thoughts and fallout as BYU takes down USC, the nationally ranked USC Trojans, 30-27. Could the Cougars be in the top 25 on Monday? We'll see. Find out on Sunday afternoon. I don't think they will, but hey, it's a possibility now, and just keep dreaming, BYU. Just keep dreaming. That'll do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. We'll talk to you on Monday. It's powered by KSLSports.com. Just keep dreaming, 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 dreaming. He the man, he the miracle. Oh yeah, baby! 2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport. There's desperation and anguish. More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.